Blog Talk Radio.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Cases and cases of confidence.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everyone is having a beautiful morning. And this is Minister Tabika Garnes, your host for the day on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Apostle Banks is taking a class this morning, so she probably is on her way to her class. But I just want to say good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining me on the line this morning. And I want to just say that I know we're expecting some bad weather here in Maryland. I don't know about any other state right now, but I just want to say if you have to go out, please be very, very careful. Only if you have to go out, if it's an emergency or something like that. Although we really don't know how bad the weather will be, we just want to take precautions. So if it's something that you need to get, I would say go get it now. And just try to stay in the house because you know that the weather advisors are not always right. It's what God has. He's in control of the weather, and they are only our advisors to tell us what may happen. So I just want to just pray that everybody is safe, your families are safe, and just we just trust God through this weather because it's nothing that we can do to change it. So I just want to say good morning to our regular callers. Good morning, Miss Joyce, here in Baltimore. Good morning, Miss Joyce, in New York. Good morning to Prophetess Kim and Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to Apostle's family. And if I left you out, please don't be upset. Charge it to my head and not my heart. Amen. But again, and good morning to our guests. If this is your first time joining us, I pray that you will be blessed by the conversation that is held on today, and hopefully you'll join us again next Saturday. We're here every Saturday at 9 a.m. This morning, the topic for this morning is going to be about childhood trauma and some common behaviors as adults. So before we get into the meat of that, I just want to give God some praise this morning through prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name. Father God, we just invite you on this line tonight, O God. We invite you into our hearts right now, O Father, that you may have your way. Lord, I just pray that if there is anyone on this line that has gone through childhood trauma, Lord God, or they may know somebody who has gone through it, Lord, I pray that they will share this information. I pray that this information will touch their hearts, Lord God. I pray that healing would take place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would let go of their accuser or the one that violated them. Lord, we just thank you right now that you are faithful, you are just, you are consistent in everything you do. You show unconditional love, oh God, and help us to be able to show unconditional love to our brothers and sisters, oh God. Father, we just thank you for you love us beyond measure, Lord God, and we so desire to be like you, Father, because you created us in your image, oh God, and you blessed us with the mind of Christ, Lord. So I pray that we will begin to grasp that and hold on to it and know how much we are blessed, know how much we are loved by you, the fact that we are here, that there is so much purpose in us that is jumping to come out, oh God. If we would just take hold and see ourselves as you see us, Father God, and not be afraid to walk on water. Father, we just bless you right now for everything that you're doing, oh God. Even if we don't feel it, even if we don't see it, God, we know that you're working, Lord God, for you are not a man that you will lie. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, oh God, We come to you humbly, Lord God, that we would give everything over to you, that we would stop being stagnated, oh God, that we would just step out and walk in faith and not by sight, God, that we wouldn't allow the things that go on around us to block us from our blessings, oh God, that we would begin to move in the gifts, oh God, and the things that you've given us to do, God, that we would begin to grasp hold of our destiny and begin to just let it work. Just let it come to life. In the name of Jesus, God, we know there's so much that you want to do for us, Father God. We know, Father, that we are special to you, and we know that you've equipped us with so many things, the things that you want to see go forth here in this earth. God, we know that you've given us the power, the authority, and the dominion to do these things, oh, Father. And so we just thank you right now, God. We give you praise, Lord, for there is none like you. We are powerless without you. We're nothing without you. We can't even do your work without you, Father. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, those done in thought, word, or deed, Lord God. Lord, we repent for the things that are not of you, Lord God, the things that have hardened our hearts in some way, Lord God, where unforgiveness has infiltrated our hearts and caused us to be hard and cold. Lord God, we just break that spirit right now in the name of Jesus so that we can move forward and be free and free indeed in the name of Jesus, oh God. So we just thank you right now for what you're going to do in our lives, oh God, for what you're already doing in our lives. And so we just give you praise right now, oh God. We honor you and bless you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, again, this morning we're going to be talking about childhood trauma and some common behaviors as adults. And I just want to say I found this article on Pinterest from the Minds Journal. And that's the name of the website. If you want to go there and check it out, it talks about some other things that, you know, we go through as humans. But it's themindsjournal.com. And we all know that there are many people that have experienced childhood trauma. Things that have happened to them when they were young was never dealt with. And so they grow up and these issues surface. They arise in us as adults because we never dealt with it as a child. We never got the help that we needed to get through it because as children, you know, we're innocent. We're not basically equipped to handle traumatic things as young kids. And when we don't talk about it, it just festers within us. And so the intensity of a traumatic incident varies from person to person, and the trauma from when one was a child can range from a crippling fear of abandonment to physical abuse and anything between the two. So one of the characteristics are reoccurring panic attacks. Those who have had to deal with trauma early on in life often struggle with anxiety as they grow older. They find it hard to process a lot of things in one go. So if something happened to, you know, to you as a child and you start to have panic attacks because it's something that it's like a trigger because you don't know how to deal with the thing that you went through. And so you begin to panic when you get in certain situations. So whatever, you know, you suffered as a child, it may still influence you by making you extra jumpy. You may be nervous all the time. You may hear a sound and, you know, it makes you jump or it makes you run or something like that. It's called a panic attack. And then you'll begin, you know, sometimes I've seen people have panic attacks and I'm like, well, what's going on with that person? Like nothing happened to make them have a panic attack. But for them, the slightest little thing can cause them to have a panic attack because it kind of reminds them of that situation that they encountered. A sound, anything can trigger that panic attack. Another one is making do. Any traumatic experience as a child can completely transform the rest of your life. You'll be anxious, because you want to be sure that you'll never be in a situation like that or in a situation similar to that ever again in your life. So what this does, it makes you be extra careful at times. You're very unwilling to take risks, even if you know they're important. And you like to stay where you are comfortable. So even if that means that you're holding yourself back from realizing your full potential, what you do is you just complete all the tasks that are necessary to get by, but you don't push yourself to be the best version of yourself that you can be. It's almost like that's your comfortable place. You don't want to push yourself, or maybe that you don't want to push yourself. Maybe you can't. Maybe you're just so that thing has got a grasp on you so heavy that you can't push yourself to do more because it's uncomfortable to you. Because you don't know what it may bring, it's easier to just stay in a place of just, I'm okay, and just stay there because you don't know what the outcome of you moving forward may look like. Another one is being overwhelmed by fear. Trauma can hurt you 100 different ways, some of which you may not even realize until you're much older. So part of this experience is the phobia you develop of certain things because your mind associates them with the pain you had to go through. So it could be anything from, say, the fear of a cologne, a perfume, a moving vehicle. Like if you were in a bad car accident, you may not want to be in a vehicle ever again. Like you're really afraid to get in a car. But it's very important that you went over this fear before it controlled every aspect of your life. So we never know when we'll run into something that can trigger us, so it's better to try to work through our issues so that these things don't have power over us anymore. And when I said, like, okay, so let's just say you may say, well, how can the scent of a cologne or perfume cause fear? So easily, the scent of someone's cologne or perfume may trigger the memory of you being sexually abused or molested or whatever, because that particular perfume or that particular scent reminds you of that person that hurt you. And so that can cause fear to come upon you. You may be somebody at work where your coworker could wear this particular scent. And so you're automatically afraid of this person. Person has never done anything to you, but you're afraid of them because that scent that they wear, that cologne or perfume that they wear, it reminds you of that person that hurt you or took advantage of you. And it happens. You know, it's not uncommon. It's not something that's like basically way off left. It's true that those certain things will remind you of that particular situation that took place. Another one is becoming a recluse. When you've been through so much, sometimes it's easier to just hide yourself away from the pity, the sympathy, the blame, and all the other emotions that the rest of the world will try to project on you, even if they are not close to you. You may hate the pity glances, or you may fear others passing harsh judgments on you, but by ensuring that you only go out into society when you need to, you hide yourself from the prying eyes of everyone else. And this is actually called a social anxiety disorder, and you can always seek help for that. But the thing is that these are like the mind games that happen to you, because everybody that looks at you a certain way, you may take it as somebody judging you or taking pity on you, which may not be the case, especially if they don't know what happened. But because you've been through this trauma and you've built up all these things, and you know the enemy has lied through a lot of it, this is just like phobia that you created. And so you basically stay away from people. You stay away from people because to you it's easier just to be by yourself. You don't have to talk to anyone. You don't have to share what happened to you. And a lot of times when you don't share what happens to you, it becomes more like a torment because it's eating away at you because you're not basically sharing with anyone that may be able to help you through what you've gone through. And it's sad to say that you're not the only one that may have experienced a childhood trauma. And, you know, childhood traumas come in many different forms, but it seems like a lot that I've been hearing lately are from, you know, young women who have been touched as young kids, as young women, as young girls, that they've been touched. They've been even molested by somebody that was like a family friend, somebody they called, or a family member, like an uncle, somebody close to the family. And it just breaks my heart that it seems like I'm hearing this so much now, and it just breaks my heart because it's like, wow, you know, you're so innocent. You're so innocent at that young age. You're so innocent, and I just don't understand how an adult, you know, and sometimes it's not always an adult. It could be a child where that particular thing happened to that child, and that child never got help. So what happened was they thought it was okay, and then they began to touch other children, but they still could be a child themselves. They could be a young teenager, you know, just like 13. It could be it doesn't matter. It starts at a young age. And when you don't talk about it, and sometimes as kids, you know, we don't tell our parents things because it's either we may be afraid that they won't believe us, or we're afraid that that person may get in trouble, or it's because we've been threatened not to say anything. And so all these things are running around in our little brains, and we just don't know how to deal with them. So we just go into that place. We go into that place of solitude where if we go into denial, or if we don't deal with it, it's basically like it never happened. So another one is becoming passive aggressive. It's usually easier to beat around the bush rather than directly confront the cause of your problem. When people are too scared to do the latter, they spend a lot of time trying to repress the anger and resentment that has taken hold deep inside them. So while they may be successful at times, some of it will eventually start to find its way out. They might not be ready for the direct confrontation, but they start dealing with it in a passive-aggressive manner in an effort to remain subtle while getting their point across. They might think that they're avoiding negativity, but they're just lying to themselves. So, yeah, I've been around some passive-aggressive people. And you may think to yourself, you know, why does he or she act like that? You know, I don't understand. They always do. It's almost like it's a routine. Like they always do A, B, and C every time we get into a discussion, or maybe an argument or something that they just won't confront. They just won't talk. They just won't deal with it. And for them, they're too scared. It's almost like the little child is still in them. The little child is just still in them, and they don't know what to say. They don't know how to handle it. And so you might be looking at an adult in the physical aspect. You may be looking at an adult, but behind all of that is still this little child that was hurt, that was physically abused, that was mentally abused, that was physically abused, you know, all these things. But to us, we're looking at this adult like, what is wrong with you? You know, why do you act this way? And a lot of times when you see the same behavior in a person all the time, 9 times out of 10, somewhere in their childhood, they were traumatized. And a lot of times they were traumatized by the people that were supposed to love them, like their parents, physical abuse from their parents, mental abuse from their parents, emotional abuse from their parents. And you'll see this as they grow up, that when they get into relationships or friendships or something, they it doesn't last, because what happens is the example of love that they were supposed to get at a young age hurt them. So whenever somebody try to get close to them, they do something to sabotage it, because it's fear of them being hurt. So before that, before they can be hurt, they just sabotage the relationship so that they don't give the other person a chance to hurt them. So if it's a situation that reminds them of someone that hurt them, they will walk away really quick, and you're like, wow, you know, what happened to such and such, or why did such and such stop calling me just out of the blue? Why did they just stop calling me? Because they can't deal with being loved, because they think it's not real, because again, they didn't get the love that they were supposed to get from the people that were supposed to show them love at a very young age. You know how when we're mothers and we're carrying our children, we establish a bond with our children while they are in the womb. See, as a result of like a rape or something like that, it's kind of like the bond is already disconnected from the start because of the way the pregnancy came about. And so when the child is born, the child is already feeling abandoned or rejected because of the situation that took place, because of how they came into this world and the means by which they came. They already feel rejected and abandoned because that mother does not know how to love this child, because the way that the child was conceived was with a person that shouldn't have violated them. So it's not intentional. It's not like the mother sets out to do this intentionally, but it's something that happens because they're dealing with the trauma that has happened to them, but they're not dealing with the fact that they're carrying life in their womb, and that now this is they have to take care of this child. So they're dealing with the trauma that happened to them, and now they have a child out of another one is a state of constant tension. That traumatic experience probably ended a long, long time ago, but some people have a hard time letting go. They're well aware that their circumstances have changed, but they're always preparing for those problems to come back, some even unconsciously so. Their brain is stuck on the principle of flight and fight, and this causes a good deal of internal conflict. They are in a state of constant tension, which keeps them from living life as it should be lived. They are never carefree about anything. This is usually seen in survivors of physical abuse, but it also occurs in those who have had breakdowns due to being overstressed. So, So the tension from that situation, and for some people, they have had more than one childhood trauma. So they may have been molested. And they may have been, you know, they may have been molested by somebody they knew. They may have been raped by a stranger. They may have, their parents may not have been there for them like they should have. So I just named three things. So now this child or young adult is dealing with these three things. And they don't know, you know, what to do with this stuff. So then they begin to act it out and behaviors that are not pleasing, that does not put them in a good light. They begin to act out certain things. And then the tension of it, the stress, the internal conflict that they go through, blaming themselves for what happened. Then it's the thing where we talk about forgiveness, and then we got to forgive the person that hurt us. But they're not thinking about that at that time. That's probably nowhere on their radar at that time, or forgiving somebody that hurt them, because to them, it's like, you hurt me. Why should I forgive you? So it goes deeper. So we have to go deeper when we talk about forgiveness to somebody who has experienced things like being raped and molested and all that, because to them, they were innocent. Like, they didn't play a part in it. They were minding their own business, and they were a child. And so that person had no right to violate that child like that. So for people that have gone through these things, sometimes it's harder for them to forgive the person that has done these things to them. And then the last one is victimizing themselves. One second. This happens. This is what happens when the victim of some form of trauma becomes too used to that role. They've been treated as a helpless victim for so long and by so many that they actually start to believe it. But once the attention passes, they are left lonely, feeling like they are just floating around alone in life. And they try to deal with it by further embracing the role of the victim. They find it safer to take orders rather than to give them. They'll obey even if they don't agree with the order they've been given, and they feel much safer this way. So I'm sure we all have heard, somebody say, you always playing a victim, you're not the victim. You hear people, then the spirit called the victim spirit is the result of the trauma that they've gone through. And so somebody who has been through a trauma like that, say, you know, for example, they spoke to their mother, they told their mother what happened to them, and the mother believed the child. And so the mother basically, we play the mother role. We protect our child. We make them feel, in a way, like the victim. And it's not that we really understand what's going on at the moment. All we know is it's our child, somebody violated them, so we go into protective mode. And then it becomes overprotective because now it's like we don't let our kids go anywhere for the fear that it's going to happen to them again. And so what happens is the child doesn't learn certain how to basically defend or take care of themselves now because mommy always did it or daddy always did it. So they didn't learn how to defend themselves. And so as they become adults, every time somebody says something to them that they don't like or particularly agree with, they go back to that victim. They go back to that situation. And mommy and daddy may no longer be alive to defend them. And so what basically happens is they play the victim. They go into woe is me, that type of thing. And only until they're ready to get help, you know, that's something that may continue to happen. Have you ever seen somebody that intentionally causes an argument? Or they may say something to you that was offensive, but the minute you say something to them that they feel is offensive, you know, everything falls apart. You know, why are you saying this to me? You have no right. You know, you're wrong. But it's not okay I know that things happen to you, but it doesn't give you the right to now turn around and hurt other people. Because you had childhood trauma, whatever it is that you went through, does not give you the right to hurt other people. It just doesn't. It's something that you have to deal with. And another thing what happens is when you're a victim, at that moment, so much attention is on you. So much attention. You're getting so much attention from everywhere because of what happened to you. And then when that attention begins to die down, it's almost like nobody's really paying you any attention anymore. So some people cause things to happen so that they can get that attention again. It almost feeds them in a way that's unhealthy. And so I've seen people who intentionally do stuff and it could be bad behavior, it could be something negative, but as long as they are getting that attention, they don't care. And when I said how sometimes, you know, we may act out in a certain way, it's because whether it's good attention or bad attention, I'm getting attention. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it may be a bad behavior that I just displayed. Somebody's going to show me attention from that. And so to them, that feeds them. That makes them continue it kind of like gives them life. It's not good, but at that moment, they're getting what they need. And so, you know, just sharing these different behaviors, when you come in contact with people and you may see these certain behaviors, you may, you know, 9 times out of 10, it may be because they went through a childhood trauma. If you see some of these behaviors in yourself and you know that you've had a childhood trauma, maybe it's time that you begin to deal with these things and stop suppressing it and stop sweeping it under the rug and stop being in denial, because it eats away at you. It causes you to not be the best you. It causes you to miss out on opportunities. It causes you to miss blessings. And while that other person that may have wronged you or hurt you or whatever that they did to you, at this point they may not be thinking about you anymore. They may not be alive. They may have moved on about their life. But see, this is the thing. You don't know what they're dealing with. They may be really dealing with it. They may be in a dark place and you're still, you know, wondering, you're still stuck in that place where, you know, why did they hurt me and why did they do this? But what happens is you begin to not love yourself. You begin not to love yourself, or you don't know how to love yourself, because some people still blame themselves for what happened to them. And it's not the truth. Nobody has the right to violate you in any sort, any type of way. And while we're on this subject, I want to briefly talk about, you know, the what's in the news right now about R. Kelly. I want to briefly talk about this because this situation with R. Kelly is some of the childhood trauma that some of our young women are dealing with right now. But before we get into that, you're listening to Heart, where you get to the heart of the matter. If you have a comment, something that you want to share, please press 1 on your keypad so that I can unmute your line. If you're listening via the computer or on the internet, the number to call in is 657-383-0982. We're talking about childhood trauma and some common behaviors as adults. So, again, if anybody has anything they want to share, please feel free to press 1 on your keypad, and because we would like to hear from you. You know, this is not like a forced thing. If you're not ready to talk, it's okay. But I do pray that the information that you're receiving is either helping you or equipping you to be able to help someone else. So about, you know, this R. Kelly thing, I don't know how many people watched that the documentary or the whatever it was about R. Kelly on Lifetime. So I watched some of, you know, I think it was like 6 of them, 6 different stories that came on Lifetime. And it really disturbed me. It really disturbed me. And again, you know, these are young, they were young women at the time that this took place. And it's so many of them that, you know, it just makes you wonder, like, how did he get away with this all this time? And just hearing them talk about their encounter with them and with him and how he met them, and it was just very, very disturbing. And we always know that it's two sides to a story. It's always two sides to a story. And I hate when I hear people say, that it was the little girl's fault because they shouldn't have been so fast or they should have known what was going to happen. I hate to hear that because that's not their fault. That is not their fault. You know, when you hear people say, well, she put herself in that situation, she should have known what was going to happen. Nobody still has the right to violate you whether you put yourself in that situation or not. That's not the answer. It's just not the answer. And so one of the ways that he met these little girls is that he would go to the high school. He was, at the time he was going to these high schools, I think he was already like a grown man. Maybe he was over the age of 21. But I think the high school girls, you know, they couldn't have been any older than 17, maybe 18. So I think he was like 25 years old. I just know he wasn't in high school anymore. And he was at that age where it's now called statutory rape. And so he's going to these high schools. He's walking through the high schools, and he has his entourage with him. And, you know, they're walking up. He's getting his entourage, the different guys, to walk up to these little girls and give them his phone number and, you know, telling him that, you know, R. Kelly wants to talk to you. Okay, so I'm in high school. R. Kelly comes to my school, and he shows interest in me. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, this is R. Kelly. He's known. He's a singer. You know, he's not ugly. So it's almost like somebody that's famous is showing interest in me. Like, you're not going to think right off the top, what is this man going to do to me? You just, you know, excited that he showed you some attention. And you're a young girl. You're very impressionable. And the young girls that he was talking to were like 14, between the ages of 14 and 17, I believe. And so at that point, they're really not paying attention to the fact that what if he does something to me? They're like, oh, no, this is R. Kelly. One second, we do have somebody that wishes to speak. Your last four digits are 3504. Good morning.
Good morning, sister. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you, Deacon Parr?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I was just listening, and then you jumped in. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
But, you know, the R. Kelly thing, you're right, because I know a lot of folks have been talking about that. But, you know, it's something we have to realize, too, in all of it. You know, I got into a conversation with a brother recently. It's two things when we look at it, that he was a predator, and he had predators around him. So it didn't happen in a vacuum. And, again, it was a targeting thing, and that's what we have to look at for that specific information, and even today. You know, it's people less famous than him who are predators, and they look in to take advantage of boys and girls, of young people. And we have to do our due diligence in our children and know where they are and what they're doing and who their friends are. And, you know that the R. Kelly thing is just it's good now because of the show and because of who he is. But I tell folk all the time, you got somebody in your neighborhood who's not as friendly, and he's the same kind of predator. And we have the same kind of predators in our schools, our churches, our communities. So we have to be on guard about these things on what how we raise our children, and we have to put our children on notice. And we have to take, you know, some responsibility as leaders in the church, family, mothers, fathers, because it's a predator thing. And it's out there, and I think that's some of the thing. And you said something specifically, you know, because I've heard a lot of folk in the church and out of the church say a lot of things about this R. Kelly situation. But, you know, again, these are the things that we have to deal with because of sin. And unless we are, you know, diligent in our prayer, diligent in what we're doing in the community, where we are truly being salt and light and reaching people, and even in the process of those who have been victims to Trey and help them heal through the process. I know, we say a lot of things about. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. It's like your phone. Like, I can hear you at times, and then I can't.
Okay. Hold on a minute. I was online.
Okay.
Maybe that's why. All right, I cut it off. Can you hear me now? Amen. Can you hear me now?
It's still doing the same thing.
Oh, all right, all right. Well, I just wanted to, you know, it's getting. I just wanted to know that we have to be diligent about predators amongst us when it comes to children and reach and people who are seeking out to do these things. You know, it's a predator mentality. As when we talked about, like mm-hmm. I said, R. Kelly, it's just being a predator, and we have to be on guard. Back to you, sister.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for chiming in and sharing that. I was able to hear some of what you shared. But yes, he is a predator. That's what they title him or label him, is a predator. And that's basically what he is. And I don't know why he's still free to walk around, but he is. But his time will come when God is ready for it to come. It will come. Amen. All right, so we do have another caller. 1 second. Your last four digits are 6184. Good morning.
Good morning, sister.
Good morning.
This is Joyce. I wanted Good morning, to say Joyce. That I wish that Brother Farr would hang up and dial back in and see if he could get a better connection, because what he's saying is so powerful. We need to hear it. And the devil is not happy and doesn't want it to be heard. So if he has an opportunity to hang up and dial back and say what he said, because it was very, very, very distorted to the point that we can't really hear the essence of what he's trying to say. And it's real important that we hear from a male perspective in addition to what you're saying, which is so very powerful. So I thank you for putting it forth.
Amen. Amen, and thank you for sharing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
All righty, let's see. All right. One of the stories that was shared was it was parents. It was like a two married couples that shared that their daughters were basically brainwashed by R. Kelly. And they were sharing how I can't really remember how they actually came in contact with R. Kelly, but one of the couples said that their daughter met R. Kelly, their daughter could sing. So R. Kelly played on that. The daughter asked if she could meet R. Kelly somewhere, and at first, the parents told her no. Like, no, you can't go with him. Like, we don't know who he is. Okay, yes, he's R. Kelly, but we don't know who he is. And somehow, either she snuck, she went anyway without her parents' knowledge. But anyway, or they allow her to eventually go, because she probably threatened, like, if you don't let me go, then I'm a runaway, or I'm not going to want to deal with y'all anymore. It was something to that effect. And she ended up going, and I think she's one of the ones that's still with him. And the parents just looked like, you know, they were so distraught, because it's almost like, how did I let this happen? How did I let this happen? How did my daughter get caught up in this situation? And what we don't realize is, just because somebody is famous does not mean that they're not a predator, or that your child is safe in that person's you know, being around that person. You know, who would have ever thought that R. Kelly was this type of person? Why? Because he's famous, we think that he wouldn't do anything like this. But what I did learn is that he was molested by his sister. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I did know that his sister was not interviewed for this show. His two brothers were. And I think one of his brothers, the youngest brother, was molested by his sister too. Again, I don't know how true that is because, you know, you see information, you see stuff on the internet, but you don't know how true this information is. But I did notice that the sister was not one of the people being interviewed on this show. So he was, let's just say that this did happen. Again, disclaimer, I'm not saying she's the one that did it, so I'm putting that out there. But let's just say that she was the one. So now you see that he was molested by somebody that was close to him, that was supposed to love him, and it was his own sister. And it wasn't dealt with. I can't remember if they said they told their mother. I can't remember. But it wasn't dealt with. And then he turned around and started doing the same thing to other women. Now, what may have developed is this complex within him that had a vendetta against women because of what, or allegedly, his sister did to him. Allegedly. I'm saying that again. Allegedly, because I don't want Apostle Show to somebody hear this and she start getting letters saying that I said that his sister did it. So I'm saying allegedly. So maybe now there is a vendetta against women because of what went to him. And in his mind, his sick mind, he justifies what he's doing to these young women because of what happened to him. So it's like it becomes generational. It becomes so we wonder did this happen to his sister? And she never said anything. But because it happened to her, it wasn't dealt with, nobody told her, or maybe she didn't share that that's not normal, that nobody is supposed to touch you in that way, that maybe she thought that it was okay. And if it was, she was still young when it was happening, she thought it was okay because nobody didn't tell her that that was wrong. So some, well, as kids, if nobody tells us that that's wrong, we don't know it's wrong until we get to a certain age and now we're around other children or around other adults and we begin to identify what's right and what's wrong. But when we're children, it's up to our parents to tell us what's right and what's wrong until we get to that age where now we know for ourselves, we know for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And so him and you know, like him, it was times where he had this house and it would be a lot of young women in his house. He would have parties. They would always be young women. They say he built in his studio, he built a bed in his studio and it would be like young women in the studio with him. My thing is the entourage. Now, some of the people that was part of his entourage back then, they began to speak out, you know. But I'm thinking to myself, like, where were y'all? Like, y'all just as guilty as R. Kelly. You may didn't participate in the act that he was doing, but the mere fact you knew these girls were young because you were with him when you went to the high school and you didn't say anything, you just as guilty as him. And it's like now you're sitting here and you're telling what's going on, but had you said something back then, maybe these little girls wouldn't have, like, maybe as many of these girls that were speaking out, maybe it may have not have gotten to all these little girls that have been hurt now and traumatized and taken advantage of and brainwashed and all of the other stuff. And so as adults, we just, our responsibility is to make sure that our children are safe at all times. And listen, we can't be around our children 24 hours a day, but we have to teach our children about predators and make them feel that it's okay if somebody is touching them, harming them, telling them certain things. We have to make our children comfortable enough with us that they can come to us and share, because you know, you'll have the predator say, and if you tell your mother, I'm a killer, or something like that. These are the type of things that we need to share with our children, because a lot of times it's an empty threat. It's just so that the child will never say what happened to them and so that it can continue to happen. But if we tell our children, hey, this is what he may say or she may say to you, you tell me anyway. So just let them, take off that extra stress of, you know, not wondering whether or not they can come to their parents and share what's going on with them, with their parents. It's like we have to, in this day and time, we have to make our kids feel comfortable with us to share with us and not be afraid that when somebody is bothering them or hurting them, we have to make them feel comfortable enough that it's okay to come to mommy and daddy and tell mommy and daddy, or mommy and daddy is not together anymore, tell mommy what's going on or tell daddy what's going on. But tell somebody that you trust, that you know, that somebody that may be in that child's life that they trust and look up to, whether it be their pastor, their teacher, you know, a mentor, somebody that they've grown close to and they know that they can trust. But they have to learn that they have to share, no matter what the person that's doing this to the offender, no matter what the offender is saying, you know, telling them that they better not say it because they're going to kill their family, they're going to kill their parents. You know, again, a lot of times they don't mean that. That's just to shut the child up so that the child won't say anything. And when you're a child, you believe, you know, if this person is doing this to me, you believe that they're really going to kill your parents. So you really, now you're stressed. That's extra stress added because now it's like, now I got to protect my parents. But now this situation is still happening to me. So if we, you know, if we could just get in that position as parents, as an aunt, you know, as a godmother, you know, get into that position to be able to let whomever know, you could be a teacher, you know, just get in a position where the person, that child trusts you enough to share what is going on with them. Because I'm sure it's a heavy burden as a child to be going through this stuff and not being able to talk to anyone about it, but yet it's still happening to them on a daily basis. And so I think I kind of heard Deacon Fall say that it's happening in a church, and the church is not exempt. You would think that the church should be exempt, but again, these people that have been traumatized are now in the church, and they're traumatizing other people. I recently heard, not that long ago, I was talking to this young lady, and she was saying, you know, about church and why she don't go to church, and she shared that, you know, they used to be in, you know, maybe like in a basement of the church, them, you know, seeing children. Now, these are children, they in the basement of the church, and they're having sex, like. And you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, OMG, in the church? Yes, it is happening in the church. So you still have to be careful about letting your kids do church activities away from home. Like, it's so sad. It's so sad because we think of church as the safety net where we can go to find peace and all of that stuff. But we had these same predators come to church, and we don't know that they're predators. And so that's why we need discernment. We have to have that relationship with not. And listen, I'm not saying don't send your children to church. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't send your children to church. So let me just put that out there. What I'm saying is go with them. Meet the people that they're coming in contact with. Don't just send, and this is with anything. Don't just blindly send your child places, and because you don't know who they're around. Just like when they ask, can I go over such and such house? I used to tell my son, I need to meet their parents. I need to know. I need to see the atmosphere that you're going to be in. I need to know who lives with them, because there may be a friend that your child knows from school, but you don't know who lives in that house with that particular person he calls his friend or her friend. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and you think that you're sending your child over Jimmy's house, but in Jimmy's house, his father is a molester. You just don't know. And so you're sending your kid into an atmosphere that they they may not be safe is all I'm saying. So before you send your kids over to people's houses, meet the parents, you know, go to their house, see how they live, meet the other little kids that may live in there, that may live there. Cause you, and it's like you don't want to shelter your kids, but at the same time, it's so much evil going on in this world that you just have to be careful, and most of all, you need to have discernment, because God will shape you enough where He's telling you, no, don't leave your child over here. And so if you get an uneasy feeling in your stomach when you go to these people's houses that your child want to go over their house, and you get an uneasy feeling in your stomach, don't let your child stay there. You better heed to that feeling that you're getting in your stomach, because you don't want later on for your child to tell you that they was molested and it was at that person's house when God nudged you and said, don't leave them. Don't leave your child there. Don't leave him there. And so to avoid all that, we just need to heed to the voice of God. And when He's nudging us, and when we're feeling that certain uneasy feeling that we have, and you know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When something's not right, God lets us know when something is not right. And so that right there is, and you know, our children are not going to understand. But again, it doesn't matter whether they don't understand at that moment. All you know is that God spoke, and you're listening. So they may not speak to you for a couple days. You be fine with that, because at least now you're not dealing with having to take your child to counseling and therapy now because somebody violated them, when that all could have been, you know, all of that could have been avoided because God was there and He told you not to leave your child with them. So these are the things that we're dealing with, and they're real, and people need to know just because somebody is famous doesn't mean that they don't have issues that they haven't dealt with. And a lot of times, you know, they're famous, but they're hiding behind the fact that they are famous, but it's really something else going on. And R. Kelly's music was basically sexual. The majority of his music was sexual. That should have told somebody something right then and there, that something wasn't right. Something was not right about him. Because even when I used to listen to it, and, you know, in high school, and when I got out of high school, and I have a girlfriend who I, you know, that I grew up with, she loved R. Kelly. Like, she called him, her husband, and she my age. And she was in love with this man. And if she had the opportunity to meet him, and I'm just so glad that she didn't have the opportunity to meet him, because she would have been another, you know, girl on his list that we could have lost to him. And so, you know, we just have to be mindful that we can't get blindsided by somebody's fame and fortune and the things that come with living that life in the spotlight and all that other stuff. We can't get blindsided by that stuff because, again, people hide behind that thing, those things. So we've come to the end of the show. I thank you all for joining us this morning, or joining me, I'm sorry. I thank you for joining me this morning. I thank you for those that shared. And again, I really appreciate the fact that you all join us every Saturday. And again, be safe. If you have to go out, please be safe. Please be safe. Please be safe. I love you all, and enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.